Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in.
We've been talking a lot about being kings. Look at someone and say, you're a king. So look back at him and say, you believe that? Good answer. Do you believe that? Yeah? No? Yeah? Say, no, you are. You really are. I believe you're a king. Because God called us to be kings and priests, right? King is an invention of God, right? Prince is not an invention of God. God never called people to be princes. That's man made up that term. The problem is that God never intended someone to remain a prince and never be a king. See, when you're a prince, you rely on what a king has and what a king does for you. A prince is one who pulls from the resources of the king and doesn't provide themselves. There's a maturing point we get to that we're to be contributing in the kingdom of God, right? Come on, somebody. Touch someone and say, that means you. Yeah. Make sure somebody poke Jake. As many Jakes as we have in the room. Yeah. Yeah, come on. Yeah. But I want to talk about the War of Kings today. Because I believe, excuse me, you'll have to forgive me, I got a little bit of a sinus thing going on. It's the most amazing thing. My sinuses started kind of like plugging up and my chest got a little bit heavy. And so immediately, you know, I start feeling sick. As Papa Jack would say, I'm sick. but I just rebuked it. And I saw Jesus come and just deal with the sickness. I still have a little bit of the symptoms. The amazing thing is I have more energy than before I got sick or whatever. All of a sudden my energy level, I stayed up the other night till 1:30 in the morning talking to Kevin and Bailey. I mean, it's like, what? And, you know, I usually say to him, dude, I'm hitting a wall. I got to go to bed. You stay as long as you want, but shut the door when you leave. Turn the lights off. But no joke. And the next night, I stay up until like 11 o'clock. And I'm up still pretty early. And, man, my energy level's just way up there. How many of you know that sometimes when God heals, it looks different than what you expected? I mean, I expected, you know, my sinuses immediately to clear up and all that kind of stuff. The truth is that that's just a little bit of a symptom. God wants to deal with the sickness and not the symptom. The problem is we oftentimes want to eliminate the symptoms because the symptoms are what's making us feel bad. But how many of you know, God knows that it's the sickness that makes you feel bad. And so God wants to deal with the sickness and not the symptom, right? Good kings want to deal with the root problem that's affecting their region, their territory, and not just the symptoms of that. Are you with me? Does that make sense? And I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the War of Kings. Turn in your Bibles, if you would. We're going to be in 2 Samuel in a couple places. And we're going to use this very familiar passage, and we're going to look at what the War of Kings actually looks like. Now, and we can see when David was the king. Everyone say that. David was the king of both Israel and Judah. It was a split kingdom, right? And he was kind of uniting it. And it says, now, when it was told David, he gathered all Israel together and crossed the Jordan and came to Helam. And the Arameans arrayed themselves to meet David and fought against him. Now, this is what it looks like when a king who is under the banner of God, this is what it looks like when he enters into war or she enters into war. How many of you know there are she kings? Right? They're scarier than the male kings, I just got to tell you right now. When a woman takes her seat of rightful authority, she scares the bejeebers out of the devil. When women take their rightful place, they scare the bejeebers out of the devil. Amen. I just want to see if it was my delivery. I didn't know. Okay. It says in verse 18, but the Arameans fled before Israel, and David killed 700 charioteers. In that day, a chariot is like a tank today. I mean, we see the war going on in the Ukraine right now, right? And we just delivered these tank buster kind of weapons to the Ukraine. And listen, I can tell you that much of the Ukraine is going to be riddled with Soviet tanks because that are out of commission. Why? Because these weapons work. How many of you know when you're walking as a king, no matter what weapon is formed against you, it cannot prosper? I'm preaching way better than you all shouting. Is it y'all in the groove of Mother's Day? You just want to be nice and sweet and let's just hug our mother. Is that what's going on right now? I'm wanting to stir you up to battle. And you're like, no, I just want to love my mom right now. They killed 700 charioteers, 40,000 horsemen, and struck down Shabak, the commander of their army, and he died there. I think so often we get a little bit of victory. We kill off a couple chariots or tanks. We kill off a couple horsemen, and we stop there. We don't go after the head of what is causing the problem. What is calling the invasion in your territory? See, kings war differently than soldiers. Soldiers are fighting for another. Kings fight for what is theirs. May I say to you that God is desiring to bring you into the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God is yours, so that you fight for it like it is yours. See, when you're fighting for what is yours, you lay down your life easily for it. When you're fighting for what is someone else's, you weigh the cost versus the benefit, right? That's what soldiers do. But kings, when they fight, they're throwing everything they can at it. David was a fighting king. David was one of the wildest warriors of all of his mighty men. He was the highest respected. Actually, back in that day, oftentimes you got to be the king or the leader of the army if you were the baddest dude on the block. So David had the respect, commanded. Look, you can't lead others into battle if you're not willing to fight. You don't push other people into battle. You lead them into battle. Are you with me? You don't push your family into battle. You lead them into battle. But here's what happens when kings do not go to war. 2 Samuel 11:1. Then it happened in the spring, at the time when kings go out to battle. That word time does not mean like 10 o'clock. It's time for you to go to battle. No, this is the season. This is the kairos kind of moment. This is the appointed time that you're to go out into battle. Well, let me ask you, when is that appointed time? When do you know that you're to go into battle? You know you're to go into battle. You know it's the appointed time when your enemy encroaches in your territory. It happened in the spring at the time when kings go out to battle, because that's oftentimes when you invaded others' territory. You didn't do it when the weather was inclement. It was too difficult to attack. If you're trying to attack a fortress and the ground's slippery and you're going through mud and you're trying to move an army, you're already at a disadvantage of people that are under the cover in a fortress. You don't want to go, but you go to battle when the weather turns, so you encroach. Your enemy will come at you when the time is right for your enemy, not when you're prepared. Not when you have the advantage, when you have the disadvantage. The enemy will come at you when you're at your lowest. The enemy will try to come at you when you're depressed. The enemy will come at you when you just got your butt kicked, where you just got a bad report. You go to the doctor and the doctor says, that's when the enemy comes at you, and that's the time for war. But that's not when we feel like going to war, right? Look, man, it's sun shining out today. It's a beautiful day. I was kind of taken by surprise this morning when I looked outside. I'm expecting yet more rain and gloom because we've had it for the last couple days, right? And it's sunny out. And I'm just kind of ignoring the sun, thinking I'm not getting excited because I know clouds are coming. It's going to rain. You know what I'm talking about? But the truth is, I looked on the Weather Channel, and it's supposed to be nice all day long, right? Yeah. And what happens when it's sunny? I want to go out and sit on my deck. It's Mother's Day. You know, let's go out and pick some tulips and give them to Janice and, right? Yeah, okay. So, but look, we're relaxed. We're unaware. And oftentimes that's when the enemy comes at you. You with me? It says, but it says that when it was a time when kings were to go out to battle, that David sent someone else on his behalf, Joab, and Joab's servants, and all Israel, and they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Reba, but David stayed in Jerusalem. Now, I'm not going to go through all the scriptures, but I think you all know what happened when he stayed in Jerusalem. He's like chilling. And, you know, I've often wondered, why did David stay in Jerusalem that time? He's a warrior. Why? What changed? Something changed in David. And look, as you get older, you go through different seasons of life, and your position changes. People that you're raising up actually start doing what they're supposed to do. And you find yourself maybe not feeling the level of importance in fighting like you once fought, because there are others who have taken up arms and they're fighting on your behalf because it's theirs too. And they're doing a great job at it, and maybe you don't feel needed. But the problem is, you didn't understand what the next season of your life is supposed to look like. As a king, oftentimes you go from glory to glory to glory to glory, which means you go from this manifestation of what God wants for your life into the next season, the manifestation of what it looks like that you should live like, and then the next season. The problem is, if we don't stay close to God, we get so comforted in doing what we've done that when that season starts to look like I'm not quite needed in that season as much, you know, my kids don't need me like they used to need me. I'm not needed at work like I was needed at work. I'm not able to be as important in ministry that I once was in that fashion. It's then that we need to look to the next glory, the next manifestation of what God wants for our life, because it's a lot bigger than what you anticipate. And listen, it will demand more of you, not more in the sense that I've got to put more effort or time or labor, but it will require more of you. It will require more of your heart. It will require change. It will require you to identify things within yourself that you maybe never wanted to touch, but you were okay in that last position, and you didn't have to deal with that in that last position, and you're just kind of going along in life, and hey, we'll leave that part alone. I don't want to dig up. I don't want to open up that closet. I don't want to pull out that skeleton because it's ugly, and it's an ugly part of my life, and it's not something I really feel real good about having to deal with again. But if you don't deal with that thing, you can't clean yourself up to where you can function on that next level, because the enemy will continually poke at that thing and make you feel like a loser and make you feel like you're something less or worse, make you feel like God doesn't even love you or you don't deserve that position or whatever it is he lies to you about because you didn't deal with that. And David, I think, maybe is up on his rooftop and thinking, you know, okay, we took Jerusalem. I'm leading Israel. That's what was promised. All the prophetic words seem to be fulfilled. Man, even the army doesn't seem to need me. Like, those guys needed me. Do you know what they were like? You know what my mighty men were like? They were a mess. These guys were, they didn't know how to follow God. They were just a mess. I had to take them and get them washed off. I had to teach them how to know God. I had to teach every one of them how to fight because they didn't know how to fight. But I had to teach them how to fight right. Because in Israel, we fight right. And they learned it. They got it. They really did. But the problem is they got it so well. They don't need me anymore. So what's my purpose? What's my point? What do I have to live for now? When you go into that mode, you are in very, very dangerous ground. When you haven't pursued God to find out who you are, someone else will tell you who you are. And it'll go something like this. I don't know. What is that? He's up on the roof of his palace. And he's up being introspective, not talking to God about it, kind of wallowing in the mud of his own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. Pursue the Lord in all things. Discover his righteousness, his condition he wants for you. But instead, David's in this place of, you know, just kind of getting lost in who he is at the moment. Isn't it amazing? It always comes on the heels of great victory. How many men and women of God have fallen after their ministries have become so brilliant? I really believe it's because they didn't know how to transition into the next season. And that's one thing my spiritual father has done brilliantly. Papa Jack Taylor, for those of you that don't know, he's my spiritual father. I'm telling you, he went to be with the Lord just a little over a year ago. He even transitioned well into that. I'm like, no, I don't want you to go. He's like, son, it's okay. I got this. He said, don't be jealous, but I'm going to be with the Lord before too long. But that's not what David did. David was, and look, I get it. I'm not faulting David. I'm not blaming David. But we have to learn from his mistake. He didn't have someone to train him up. Samuel was gone. The one who would have told him. But see, that's part of the problem. See, Samuel didn't raise up good sons who could take his place that could help give instruction. I mean, there was Nathan the prophet that had to smack him after the fact. But listen, prophets, may I suggest to you something? Don't go to people after they've fallen. Go to them before they've fallen. Go to them when they're wallowing in that mud of introspection. When they're getting in that funk of self. It's all about me, me, me. What's going to happen to me? Look, when you get in that mode, you're in the danger zone. Because the enemy will feed that thing. So David, on the rooftop, he looks down while he's in this mode and open to suggestion. And there's Bathsheba bathing on the roof of her home. Now look, I've heard that story told many different ways, that who's David, why he shouldn't have been looking. Yep, you're right. Oh yeah, but Bathsheba should have known that, like, she's outside and she's like bathing outside, really? Well, might have been hot, okay. But then put some curtains up, man. You with me? Look, I don't know. It's not about blame. Let's not look at that. Let's just look at what happened. David sees Bathsheba, he desires her. David himself wrote, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and God will give you the desires of your heart." His desires will displace your ungodly desires, and then you'll desire what God wants you to desire. David wrote that. And yet, he didn't remember his own words. How many of you know that's why God gives you spouses? They'll remind you of your own words. I hate that. Janice is like, well, didn't you preach about get behind me? So, hey, see that woman down there? Bring her to me. And we know the rest of the story. We know he lays with her. She gets pregnant. David plots to kill her husband, who's one of his mighty men. Uriah dies in battle that David set him up to die in. How many of you know if you don't rule well as a king here, you cannot rule well here? If you do not rule as a king well here, the enemy will possess out here. And then the enemy will possess in here. What calamities? What loss of children? What diabolical thinking? What treacherous behavior can we avoid if we go to war when we're supposed to go to war? If we war like kings? Now, we know what happened, that David repented. That's the thing I love about David. He made some major mistakes, but he repented quickly. Look, it's not wrong that you've done the wrong thing. You can't go back and change that. What's wrong is if you don't turn from that and go back to doing what you should be doing. That's where the enemy will get you. I believe there's a certain grace, there's a certain forgiveness that Jesus just extends over you when you do stupid things. But when it gets pointed out to you and you don't repent, you don't turn from that, that's when the enemy comes and God says, okay, I've offered them forgiveness, I've offered them grace, I've offered them mercy, and they don't choose that. They choose not to walk in, they choose not to enter into battle. And so, okay, but then this happens. How many children have had to die because of that? How many calamities have we suffered because we've refused to go into battle? How diabolical a thinking can flood our minds when we don't go into battle? But when we go into battle like kings, we find that the Lord meets us there. I want you to look at it. So David repents, goes out to war again, and this is what happens when kings go back out to war. 2 Samuel 12, verse 29. So David gathered all the people and went to Raba, fought against it and captured it. Say that, fought against it and captured it. Then he took the crown of their king from his head, and its weight was a talent of gold, and in it was a precious stone, and it was placed on David's head, and he brought out the spoil of the city in great amounts. Now listen, when they brought out spoil, you understand all of those who warred shared in the spoil. Are you with me? And so David went from killing one of his men to blessing his men. And the only difference was he was willing to go out to war. It's never too late to enter the battlefield. It's never too late to enter the battlefield as a king. So how? How do you enter the battlefield? Let's move this from the theoretical to the practical. How do you, as a king, do battle? Well, the first thing you have to do as a king to do... How many want to know that? Let me see your hands. You want to know how to do battle as a king. Put your hands up real high if that's you. Yeah, okay, good. All right, I happen to have the answers for that. Yeah. The first thing you have to do, and this is very simple, but you identify the enemy. Now, wait. How many of you know there are enemies that are unseen? As a matter of fact, for we, as people in the body of Christ, most of our enemies are unseen. Now, they'll oftentimes take on the persona of a person, but how many of you know that people do the best thing they know how to do? It is evil forces behind them that are moving them. Are you with me? And listen, just because they got the C word after their name, just because they call themselves a Christian, doesn't mean they can't be used from darkness. Just because they say something's from Holy Spirit doesn't mean it is from Holy Spirit. Oh yeah, just because you put the God stamp on something doesn't mean it is God. The Word of God says that we're to challenge or we're to try every prophetic word. You're responsible to do that. I remember I gave a word. I gave a word that my spiritual father was to live to 100 years old, and he was to preach until he was, I believe I said 95. And he ended up dying when he was only 92 or 93, something like that. I think that was his age. I could be wrong on that. And I was called on the carpet by some people about my prophetic word. Listen, let me put, you're on the other end now. You're giving a prophetic word, and you believe it's God. You always have to be in the position of realizing you can miss it. You, not Holy Spirit, you can miss it. That doesn't make you bad. That just makes you fallible. That just means you can make mistakes. And if you don't believe you make mistakes, then you're walking in pride, and that is a spirit. And that will control you, and it will control people. Don't walk in that thing. Always allow room. You always say, this is what I believe the Lord is saying. You can even say, this is what the Lord is saying, because you believe that to be true. But just be teachable. Just be open to the fact that you could be wrong. You can be wrong as a preacher. You can be wrong as a worship leader. You can be wrong as a camera guy. You can be wrong as a kids' church teacher. You can be wrong as a greeter. Come on, somebody. I've seen greeters make some, like, terrible mistakes. You know, one person greeting another says, we're not even going to chase that rabbit. Okay, all right. All right, come on. Here, wait. One rabbit avoided. Okay, good. All right, let's go back in. Never mind. It was going to be fun, but yeah. All right, so look, identify the enemy. How do you identify the enemy? Well, look, it's as easy as saying, when I say metron, do you all know what I mean? Your metron, the word metron means measure. It's the measure of your sphere of influence. Like, what God has in your hands right now, that would include your family, your home, that would include your workplace, that would include if you have a particular golf course that you go to and you have friendships built there, that's part of your metron, because you have influence there, you have sway there. Maybe it's not a lot, but maybe it's some. That's part of your metron. So do you understand what I mean when I say metron, right? How many understand what I mean? Let me see your hands. Okay. All right. So when you see the enemy encroaching in your metron, then you know that the enemy is present, and that's an indication that you need, that you see the enemy, you identify the enemy. Now, just because you identify the enemy, that isn't an automatic in what you do next, okay? But it's important to first identify the enemy. So, let's say there's a place that I go, and I just see a statement that one of my friends make that the enemy is all over that. Like, he maybe says something like, hey, I'm just a worthless bum. Ooh, man, you're just talking about identity right there. And you're a child of God, and God created you, and he didn't create you as a worthless bum. Now, that's not what I'm saying. That's what I'm thinking in my mind, right? So I just seen the enemy. The question is, are you willing to go to war? Now, here's the thing. You never want to go to war unless you're willing to finish the battle. Mm-hmm. Don't go to war. Don't go to war if you're not willing to finish it. So you identify the enemy. What do you do next? Okay, you strategize. It's important. And may I say this? You go to the war table, but the best war table is the table of the Lord. So you belly up to the table of the Lord. I'm laying here at your feet. I'm drinking from the cup in your hand. I'm leaning against you, and I'm drinking of your goodness, God. I mean, we just sang about that today. That's the picture of what you do. All right, Lord, Billy Bob, he's calling himself a worthless bum. What do I do about that? Well, you don't want to lean on your own understanding, because in your own understanding, you'd be like, if you're like a Kevin, Kevin's a confronter. He doesn't mind confronting. He's very good at confronting. What he's tempered it with, though, is confronting with the mind of the Lord. Am I right? In years past, you've confronted, and it's created some damage, right? Because he's very confident in his opinion, okay? But what he's learned to do is temper that with the mind of God. And so instead of saying, hey, Billy Bob, you're not a worthless bum. Don't call yourself a worthless bum. Don't you know you're a child of God? Don't you know you're better than that? What are you doing to Billy Bob? It's like, but instead, you say, hey, man, I just want you to know how valuable you are to me. I just think you're an amazing guy. You remember that thing you said you did with your son? Oh, my gosh, if my dad would have done that for me, that would have changed my life. Man, I applaud you as a dad. What are you doing? You're not confronting, well, not directly. How many of you know you're passing through Billy Bob and going after that devil that's been on his back? Are you with me? And you're displacing what darkness has been saying to Billy Bob with what God's saying about Billy Bob. Are you with me? The point is, strategize with the Lord. Lord, what do I do? All right, let's practice that. Say, Lord, what do I do? And then listen and do it. All right, third thing. First thing is identify the enemy. Second thing is strategize. Third thing is be courageous. Be courageous. Touch someone and say, be courageous. Be courageous. How many times does the Lord say, be strong? How many times did Jesus say, do not fear? Do you think he was just trying to be nice? Aw, do not fear. No, he's like, hey, do not fear. Why? Why was he saying that? Because he knew there were going to be times that they were going to be afraid. So, look, I'm telling you, be courageous. I know the enemy. He will use anything he can to get toward you. So, have courage to do what you fear. But also, have the courage to do what you don't feel like doing. That takes courage. Why? Because it takes courage to confront the desire to be comfortable. How many like being comfortable here? How many have a favorite place they sit in their house? Yeah, where's your favorite place? Everybody shout it out real quick. Where's your favorite place? Couch, couch. How many is your couch? How many is a lazy boy? How many is a lazy girl? Why is it just boys that are called lazy? Come on. And does it really mean I'm a lazy boy if I'm sitting in the chair? Never mind. No. Oh, that's the devil, Pastor. Stop that. Okay, all right, you're right. Thank you, I repent. All right, and finally, last thing, and we're going to end here. Know this. If you're willing to fight as a king, if you're willing to enter into the battlefield, even though you're afraid, even though you don't feel like doing it, but you know it is the right thing to do, know this. If you're going on to the battlefield for the kingdom of God, that the King of all kings is with you there. He's called the captain. Look, Jesus loves a good fight. Oh, I know. You got this picture of Jesus, right? He's knocking at the door, and he's got these flowing robes and this pretty hair and this nice, well-trimmed beard, kind of like Kevin's beard right now. It's very nicely trimmed. He's single, by the way. We're taking applications. Yeah. Yeah. Only the best. Only the best. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I just scolded everyone in the prayer room for picking on Kevin, and I've been picking on him the whole time. Yeah. It just feels good right here, you know? I'm sorry. Jesus, help me. Anyway, come on, Pastor. It's Mother's Day. Let's get out of here. All right. Let me leave you with something good, though, okay? I know the picture you have of Jesus. You know, he's like, look, if that, he is like that. He does have that peaceful, gentle, elder brother kind of like, hey, come here, man, let me give you a hug. And here's how Jesus hugs, though. He kind of, you know. That's why I'm thin up here, see? I get all the hugs I can from him. Come on. You know, you feel me, Sean? All right, man. Okay, all right. You must have got more hugs than me. All right. All right. More times than not, we see Jesus. He's got battle armor on. And it's not pretty battle armor. It's not that well-polished, nice sheen. It's a beautiful texture and color, you know. His sword isn't, like, polished with these funky-looking characters on them, you know. No, his sword's beat up. It's got chinks out of it. It's got dents, and it's a little crooked in places. And look, you know why? Because he likes a good fight. Isn't David known as a man after God's own heart? Man, David loved looking for a good fight. And the reason that is because Jesus, look, if he's going to lead all the kings of the earth, he's a king of kings, and he wants us to go into battle. Well, how many of you know he's got to be a warrior? But here's the thing, if you're going to go into battle for the Lord, Jesus is like, I'm there. I'm there. Let's go. Let's deal with it. That is my father's enemy, and that thing needs dealt with. So he's always with you. So number one, identify your enemy. Number two, strategize. Number three, understand you're going to have to be of good courage. And number four, know this, that Jesus is always with you in the battle. Stand up and let's close. Before we leave, I'm going to pronounce, matter of fact, I'm going to do it right now. Mamas. Female kings, lady kings, she kings. I like she kings. She kings is like she king. She king. All right. Hold up those warriorette hands. I want to bless you women. And if you're going to be a mom, hold your hands up. That's right. That's right. Kirsten, put your hands up. You're going to be a mom. All right. Don't make me yell at you from up here. All right. Father, I present to you she kings. Yeah. Warriors for the kingdom of God. Let them see themselves as warriors. Let them be the warriors that you called them to be. Let them fight, not just for their kids, because that's easy for moms. Let them fight for those who step into their metron and have the enemy at their back. Those who even come as enemies, let them fight for. Because we know, Lord, that the enemy's pushing buttons in Jesus' name. So, Father, I bless them into a new season of battle, a new season of you being with them, a new season of them wrecking the strategy of darkness in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. You can put your hands down for a minute. Listen, I'm speaking to everyone now. There was one scripture that I don't think I put in here. It said this, that when, and I don't, they're both, they start with an A, both nations. It said, when this nation saw what Israel did to that nation, it never came against Israel again. Too often, because we don't go into battle, it invites more enemies to come against us. Because if what we have is valuable and we're not willing to defend it, then of course the enemy's going to come and steal from you. But when you become a king and you fight the enemy on the battlefield, Charlie Coker's dad is just an amazing guy. I'd only met him once, and he's a Floridian, grew up in Florida, little white pencil mustache, small of stature, but you could tell. Like, you didn't mess with this guy. Even at 80-some years old, you just don't mess with this guy. He was in his boat, his fishing boat, and another fishing boat came over near them, and the guy in that fishing boat was kind of drunk, and he bumped into Charlie's dad's boat, Mr. Coker's boat, and the drunk guy says to Mr. Coker, he said, get that boat out of the blah, blah, blah way. He says, or I'm going to kick your ASS. Mr. Coker at that time was like 70 years old. He said, son, I don't know where you come from, but where I come from, those things are never so one-sided. That guy went. And you saw him back his boat up and move it down a couple docks. The battle is the Lord's. What the victory looks like is up to him. What we've got to be willing to do is enter into the fight. We're not going to have a preconceived idea of what that's going to look like. We're just going to fight. We're going to fight the way that the Lord tells us to fight. We're going to fight with courage. And we're going to fight with Jesus beside us. And if we do that, we will discourage many of our enemies from ever coming at us, because we've chosen to rule as kings. My brothers, my sisters, we are called to be kings. We're called to take dominion over this earth for our King. And then, as we rule as kings, as our last breath occurs on this earth, and we eventually stand before the Lord. Did you see what David did? David took a crown from an enemy of the Lord. You'll stack up crowns on this earth if you follow Jesus, if you do what he has you do, if you go where he tells you to go, and you walk as he has you walk. And you'll stack up crowns. May I suggest to you, those crowns aren't for you to wear. Those crowns are for you to place at our King's feet. That as we rule as kings, that those crowns are not for me. Those crowns are for him. May you, Jesus, be glorified in all that we do. Let me bless you and send you out. Father, I bless them. I ask that you keep them. That you lift up your face upon them. You cause them, Lord, to be blessed beyond measure. That you cause them, Lord God, to have your graciousness, your courage, your strategy, your presence to be with them as they war as kings. In Jesus' mighty name, City Church, go and be blessed. I'll see you next week. Oh, ladies, happy Mother's Day.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church, and you can find a easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higbee. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.